What up? Welcome to the MMA Podcast, July 3rd. And we got a big card this weekend. UFC 226 kicking off in Las Vegas. A couple of championship fights. Gonna break the prelims of that card down today. Break down the main card tomorrow. First and foremost, though, gotta introduce the voice you know as P Money, aka Sweet Pappy Jones on Twitter. Pat, what is going on, dude?
Jake, good day to you, sir. Oh, it is a terrific Tuesday here. Really, really pumped up. Fight week in full effect here. Starting July off the best way we know how. Doing a couple shows this week. Really ready for 226 and the Tough 20 finale. Tough 27 finale. Very stoked, my friend. Very stoked.
Yeah, this is International Fight Week. This is the card that the UFC likes to stack up. It wasn't exactly the jewel of the year last year. In fact, I believe you and I were both in Vegas last year for International Fight Week. That was initially, if memory serves correct, supposed to be Dillashaw versus Garbrandt, and then got turned into Shevchenko versus Nunez, and then at the last minute got changed to Romero Whitaker after Nunez pulled out of the fight. I remember being in the hotel with you on the phone with people trying to get a refund just so I could sell the ticket. A long story. We won't tell it back here on the podcast today just because it would take about 10 minutes. But no, let's get back to 2018. We're talking about UFC 226, not whatever card that was last year. UFC 213, I think. I don't know. Yeah, huge card. International Fight Week. Stipe Miocic, Daniel Cormier fighting in a super fight at heavyweight. Brian Ortega, Max Holloway fighting for the featherweight strap. Both of those fights going to be a lot of fun. We're going to break down the whole main card, all five of those fights, tomorrow on the podcast. Today on the podcast, we focus on the prelims, on the fighters are, you know, on most cards you may not have heard of, but this being such an epic card, you've probably heard of most of these fighters on the prelims. I believe, I'm going to double check, but I do believe that this is time-wise going to be working out just as most do. 6:30 Eastern for the UFC Fight Pass cards, 8 p.m. Eastern for the Fox Sports 1 prelims, and of course 10 p.m. for that pay-per-view main card. Let's start with the early prelims, UFC Fight Pass. And like I said, these are guys you've heard of a lot. You have Jamie Moyle and Emily Whitmire fighting at women's strawweight. And then we got two lightweight fights, and all four of these guys I've actually heard a lot about, not just recently, obviously, but over the years. You got Lando Venetta taking on Drakkar Klose. Klose, obviously, a really hot prospect coming into the UFC. And then you had Lando Venetta, who came in with not as much hype behind his name, but in his debut UFC fight against Tony Ferguson back July 2016. Yes, he lost, but it was a excellent fight. It actually was fight of the night. He put up one of the toughest fights we've seen against Tony Ferguson. His UFC career has been a little rocky. He's 1-2-1. That's one win, two losses, and one draw. The most recent fight, a split draw against Bobby Green last October at UFC 216. Taking on Drakkar Klose, like I said, came into the UFC with a ton of hype. Beat Devin Powell. Beat another guy with a ton of hype behind his name, Mark Diakase, via split decision. And then most recently losing a unanimous decision to David Tamer. He's looking to get back in the driver's seat here. That other fight between Dan Hooker, I believe he's a New Zealander. I was going to say an Aussie, but I believe he's from New Zealand. The 6-foot-tall lightweight who most recently beat Jim Miller, Mark Diakase, and Ross Pearson, all three of those by finish. So he's been looking hot recently on a 3-fight winning streak. Taking on the Brazilian Gilbert Burns, another guy who came into the UFC with a lot of clout behind his name, a former ADCC grappling world champion. He, I believe, has been in the UFC longer than all the rest of those guys I mentioned, joining in 2014. Had a couple losses on the way, losing unanimous decisions to Rashid Magomedov and Michael Prazeres, but was able to get back in the winning column in 2017. Had a nice year, 2 second-round KOs against Jason Sago and Dan Murray. As far as the odds makers see it, they see Jamie Moyle as a bit of a favorite, minus 210. then they got Dan Hooker, minus 130, and Lando Venata, minus 185 favorites in those fights. And I do kind of lean the same way as Vegas, at least for all three of those. Even though he has had kind of a lackluster record in his four fights in the UFC and didn't necessarily come into the UFC with that much clout behind his name, that fight he had against Tony Ferguson will always make me think that he is going to have a decent chance in any fight. He showed a lot of resilience and heart in that fight. So I'm taking Venata, Moyle. And between Dan Hooker and Gilbert Burns, I think this will be a little bit closer than the other lightweight fight. I'll probably be flip-flopping back and forth. But I think right now I'm going with Dan Hooker, who looked spectacular just a couple months ago, getting that KO knee over the veteran, the super veteran, Jim Miller, back at that Barboza versus Lee card in Atlantic City. Sorry, I'm a little congested this Tuesday afternoon. Pat, what do you make of those three cards, or those three fights, rather, that will lead off those early prelims at UFC 226?
Well, you know it's a big card when even the early prelims have some spectacular matchups lined up, such as these. Especially Dan Hooker versus Gilbert, Dorino Burns, Burns' highly touted jiu-jitsu expert. Dan Hooker, young prospect, still rising. Both these guys still on the come up. Gilbert with the 2-fight winning streak. Hooker, as you mentioned, with the 3-fight winning streak. And early on in this one, I think I'm leaning towards Dorino, actually. Hooker does have a couple submission losses. Dorino being just a beast on the mat with his submission skills, I think he's a big threat there. Both of these guys still climbing up the lightweight ranks, both looking pretty good these days. But, Dan Hooker, his last two of his last three victories in this win streak that he's on, knee KOs of Ross Pearson and Jim Miller, both studs, both guys who have been around for a long time, but definitely both guys, I would say, who are on the wrong side of their UFC careers, guys who have been around for forever, who had chins that seemingly would never fail them, now are kind of seeming not to hold up so much. His submission over Mark Giacchese, fantastic victory, but I said, good luck getting that submission against Dorino. I don't know if that's going to happen. So I'm kind of leaning towards Mr. Burns here in this one. He's got a couple KO victories in his last couple fights himself. Again, not against the biggest names, Jake, as you mentioned, Dan Murray and Jason Sago, but not against guys who were, pretty unanimously considered to have seen their better days. So, plus with his jiu-jitsu background, getting some KO wins on top of it, rounding things out, I'm liking Dorino in that one. And then as far as Venata versus Close, Venata has been nothing but impressive. Even in his defeats, he has been putting on some wars, no matter win, lose, or draw. Every fight I've seen him in has been pretty exciting. And Venata and Close, both of these gentlemen are coming off of recent losses to David Tamer, so they do have that in common. MMA math kind of sets them up similarly there. But I'm probably leaning towards Close in this one, Jake. Close, as you had mentioned, last year we were in Vegas for fight week. Close, he was my boy. He came through. That underdog cashed, had that nice little parlay, that little that little 10 times. And, man, close was a crucial leg of that one. Split decision had me sweating bullets. But, you know, I think he'll be able to get it done in this one as well. Vanata, I would definitely say, has the striking advantage. I mean, all day he's got the striking advantage. Much more polished. But close, he's a tough lightweight. He's a big lightweight. Lots of pressure. Fighting out of the MMA lab. I'd probably give him the edge in the wrestling and the grappling as well. And such a huge part of the fight. I think I'm leaning towards close with that one. And as far as the women's strawweight bout between Moyle and Whitmire, I think I'm going with Vegas. I'm siding with you in this one as well, Jake. I'm leaning Moyle, but definitely should be a lovely scrap at 115 to kick off the prelims.
And we bump up to those Fox Sports 1 prelims that start at 8 on the East, 5 on the West there on Saturday evening. And one theme I kind of see in a lot of these fights and a lot of these guys on the Fox Sports 1 prelims, a lot of underrated fighters. Your first fight, you got Curtis Millender taking on Max Griffin. The line in that has Millender minus 165. Man, this is a guy you don't really hear a lot of people talking about, but he himself, he's on a 7-fight win streak, had that really nice KO over Thiago Alves earlier this year, is a big welterweight, 6'3", 78-inch reach, fighting out of Anaheim, California. He's fought for Bellator and Legacy in the past, so even though this is only his second UFC fight, he does have some experience behind him, and he's taken on a guy in Max Griffin who just beat Mike Perry earlier in the year. That is going to be a great fight. You have Rafael Assunção, who I don't know how you don't hear this guy's name more often, because you look at his record, all of these fights in the UFC, in his last 10 fights, or no, his last 11 fights, I think, he's 10-1. He's only, like, nobody does that except for, like, the elite top championship guys. 10-1 in the UFC is insane. His only loss coming to TJ Dillashaw at UFC 200. Wins against guys. Wins against absolute studs like Aljamain Sterling, Marlon Moraes, Brian Caraway. Don't forget that win, that split decision win he had against TJ Dillashaw before the rematch in 2013. This is a very, very, very skilled featherweight, and he's taking on Rob Font, who, has, I believe, fought in the UFC, I don't know, yeah, oh, alright, he, fought at featherweight and then moved down to bantamweight once he joined the UFC, that's right, and most recently, TKO'd that young Brazilian, Thomas Almeida in the second round at UFC 220. And even though I like Font a lot, Rafael Assunção, just the skill set he has got. And actually, he's only minus 165 in Vegas. I thought he'd be a little bit more of a favorite. Not that Font won't be game, but like I said before, the guy's 10-1, his only loss coming to TJ Dillashaw. That is a pretty high level you have to compete at to defeat Assunção. The fight that probably most people will be talking about, funny enough, is Max Perry, who initially was supposed to be fighting, I'm completely blanking right now. Perry was supposed to be fighting Yancy Medeiros, that's right, and Yancy pulled out in late June, citing a rib injury, and we actually did a podcast last week about the whole mix-up between Ally Aquina dropping out of the fight against Justin Gaethje, James Vick pulling out of the Paul Felder fight to replace Aquina to fight Gaethje, and that left Paul Felder without a dancing partner. And of course, as these things seem to always work out, about 1 hour after we recorded that podcast, it was announced that Mike Perry would be fighting Paul Felder. Felder was supposed to fight in a couple weeks. Now we'll be fighting Saturday. He is a lightweight, but it shouldn't be too much of a size discrepancy, even though Mike Perry is a pretty big welterweight. The line on that one has Mike Perry a plus 135 underdog against Paul Felder. And that final UFC Fox Sports 1 prelim card coming between Uriah Hall and Paulo Costa. This is another really interesting fight. Hall had been on a skid, a three-fight losing skid, but it was against three absolute studs in your current champ, Robert Whittaker, Derek Brunson, and Gegard Mousasi. Got back in the win column against Krzysztof Jotko back late last year, taking on an undefeated Paulo Costa. Joined the UFC in 2017, is 3-0, wins against Gareth McClellan, Alawale Bambagose, and Johnny Hendricks. This will for sure be a step up in difficulty for him. So we will see if Paulo Costa can keep rising up the ranks, or Uriah Hall can get a two-fight win streak going. Either way, the winner, I wouldn't be shocked if they started to make their way up those middleweight rankings quick, because they're both really exciting fighters to watch. Pat, thoughts on those prelims?
Oh yeah, man, the prelims just get better as it gets into the televised portion of UFC 226. I mean, Curtis Millender taking on Max Griffin should be a great scrap. I'm leaning towards Curtis in this one. Jake, as you mentioned, being 6'3", Millender, he's a big welterweight there. Max Griffin, certainly not a small guy himself, coming off a great performance against Mike Perry. But dang it, I was really impressed with Millender in his fight against Thiago Alves. And I think he's got what it takes to get the victory over Max Griffin. Asuncao versus Font, holy smokes. Especially Asuncao, one of the best guys at 135 pounds. Rob Font, one of the brightest prospects at 135 pounds. Only got three losses, got a 15-3 record. And Rafael Asuncao, oh my gosh. And can we talk about how much better, I think, even if he hasn't maintained the most active record over the past years, how much better? He had a run in 2017, beat Aljamain Sterling, split decision, beat Marlon Moraes, split decision, KO'd Matthew Lopez, three fights in 2017, all victories, victories over Aljo and Marlon Moraes, especially with what Marlon has done in his last couple fights. I'm like, that was a very close fight, Marlon and Asuncao, but I'm like, how much better does that win look with what Marlon has been doing? I mean, Asuncao has just been one of the best at 135 for forever, since the WEC days, really. And, man, that's going to be a good scrap, him versus Font. I think I'm sticking with the old guard in that one. Felder versus Perry, I was definitely a little surprised at that one. I started thinking about it. And then, Jake, as you mentioned, Felder being a lightweight, Perry being a welterweight, I said, gosh, that's kind of a tough draw for Felder. You know, here he is. He gets his opponent pulled from him, second card in a row. And then they say, hey, why don't you fight on an earlier card and fight a welterweight at that? Man, God bless Paul Felder for taking that fight. Felder is such a striking tactician. I think he's got a great shot. Probably a better pure striker than Mike Perry. But, man, Perry, he's a big, strong dude for 170 pounds, and he's got some pretty solid technique himself, so definitely can't count him out there. I don't feel like either of these guys are really grapplers. I don't know if either of them are going to try and take it to the ground. Tough fight, just kind of a coin flip for me, just the height and weight discrepancy. I'm probably leaning Felder on that one, though. And then Hall versus Costa, holy smokes. Hall has shown the flashes of talent for so long. And in his victories, he has looked super impressive. But my goodness, he really seems to have a big test versus Paulo Costa. That dude in his fight with Johnny Hendricks looked like a solid weight class or two above where Johnny Hendricks was fighting. Just, there's brick shit houses, and then there's how Paulo Costa came in looking for his fight with Johnny Hendricks. Holy fuck. That is such a gigantic 185-pounder, and just appeared to be really solid all the way around. finished Johnny Hendricks with very little problem, seemingly. And he's getting a great test here versus Uriah Hall. Jake, I think I'm leaning with Costa here. This is not going to be an easy one for Hall. Hall definitely has a great skill set, but my goodness, he's got a mountain of a man in front of him in Costa, and I think Paulo's going to get it done.
And that does it for our UFC 226 prelim breakdown. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be breaking down the main card. The day after that, we'll give you a little tough preview. We're really unable to break down the whole card until Wednesday night, the season finale show, and where we can get the finalized fight lineup and break the entirety of the card down. And then Friday, going to try and do a post weigh-in recap sometime during the day. They're doing early weigh-ins again, so unfortunately there's been a lot of news surrounding weigh-ins pretty frequently of recent, so hopefully we won't have any cancellations or bullshittery like that to deal with, but it's always a possibility, and we will be dropping shows every weekday leading up to the event. Thanks for tuning in. Tune in tomorrow. We're going to break down the main card. Until then, for Sweet Pappy Jones, this is the MMA Podcast. We gone!